This recording is of the Santa Monica Bicycle Workshop, recorded Saturday, February 5, 2005, at the Kenned Word Center in Santa Monica, California. Recorded by Upcycle Media. Feel free to make copies and share with those you think would have an interest in this material. Thank you for listening.
Moved to San Francisco in 1989, and really, like a lot of people, moved to San Francisco. And on a birthday bicycle parade, I had an epiphany. You know, I had been working with something, really kind of international, but it wasn't as a look at it. it didn't really affect me. I felt like it was, I was one of these Americans trying to help other people. And, you know, I understood that one of the most important things that we could do is get our act in order about our resource use in the United States. And on a bicycle parade, where we were complaining about the conditions of bicycling in San Francisco, it occurred to me, wow, I can be a bicycle activist. That's working for my own self and my own friends and helping reduce our country's use of resources around the world. Maybe we won't have as many wars in oil-rich countries. If we had more, bicycling. So it's a wonderful way. You know, all of you here are promoting bicycling. It's a wonderful way to be selfish and internationalist at the same time. And so I founded, along with a bunch of other people, refounded. It started in '71, but we got it going again. The San Francisco Bicycle Coalition. Did that for about 10 years, and then. A couple of years ago, started Transportation for a Livable City. I want to talk today a little bit about the technical side of what you can do in Santa Monica to make Santa Monica a better place for bicycle riding. And secondly, the political side, what's necessary in terms of politics and political support to get it done. So I'm going to start with the technical. The goal, what is the goal? Well, I think we pretty much all share the goal that anyone who is physically able from the age of 8 to 80 should be able to ride safely on the streets. And 8, because that's the age at which a child can reasonably follow the rules and behave. And 80, because it's alliterative with 8. I don't mean to deny the 90-year-olds the right word.
That's
And the measure of success is Mosfet. The measure of success is what percentage of people actually ride. And the census tells you that. It's not very good data, but it's at least consistent. All kinds of surveys tell you that. And I can guarantee you, and I looked in Santa Monica, and from 1990 to 2000, and your Mosfet stayed roughly the same. The census reported 522 people bike to work in 1990. In 2000, it's reported 523 people bike to work. So I don't know who that extra person was, but thank you.
Maybe they moved to Santa Monica.
So, there's a lot of ways to do it. There's bike paths. Obviously, you have bike paths. I'm not going to go into that. There's a great bike path that you're talking about making there, but most people bike on the streets. There's bike lanes, and then you need to have the streets where you have no bike lanes safe for bicycling. Let's see if this machine here works. Yeah. So I just want to talk a little bit about bike lanes, some of the stuff that I don't know if you're doing. You can mention it in the later workshops. Colored bike lanes are something that we're going to start in San Francisco. Both just routinely, like they do throughout European countries. This is in Oxford. another picture from Oxford. This is the Netherlands somewhere. This is New York, so they're doing it in the United States. Well, what color you use is interesting. I don't want to get into that too much detail. This color, this is Portland. Now, this is the other place to use colored lanes, and this is something that might be really helpful at some of the intersections that you have in this town at freeway overcrossings. Portland did a study where they painted the bike lanes bright blue at places where there were merging conflicts, and they found that motorists were much, much more likely to look and check for cars before they crossed that intersection. They found it a vast improvement. You can see the sign right here that they put in with that. So there's a lot of, you know, bike lane improvements that you can make. Another thing is striping bike lanes across intersections. This is from Paris here. They're going to do this in Chicago. This is from Amsterdam here. What you're looking at is a page from San Francisco's study that looked at different kinds of design treatments. And we're going to officially put in bike lanes across the intersections so that everyone is more aware of the potential bicycle traffic in the intersection. This is a close-up of one of the pictures. Remember, these are our design cyclists, right? We're not designing streets for people who are people going 25 miles an hour, you know, mixing in with traffic. We're designing streets for people who are really fragile, you know, they might be slow. That's the people that we're designing our streets for. That's what we're trying to do. Now, moving to shared streets, you can't have a bike lane on every street. Sometimes there's not room. So you have to share the roadway. And there's a lot of ways to make that feasible. Now, if the traffic is going 30 and drivers expect to go 30, you can't get in front of them very comfortably. We need to do things to slow them down. And there's a whole variety of options that I need to go into. I understand that one of the things you're doing today is looking at traffic calming options. You can use big samples like that, like they use in Berkeley. And this is why it's important, slowing cars down. This is I'll translate this to miles per hour. I think 30 is like 18 miles per hour. So you can see at 18 miles per hour, it's stopping distance. This accounts for the reaction time and then the time it takes to stop the car. So at 18 miles per hour, if the kid jumps out, I think this is 100 feet, that kid's going to not be hit. At 36 miles per hour, a kid is going to be in trouble. There's another illustration. I put this sign up. I'm really happy to see that you're thinking about doing this. I saw a sign on Pico, I think it was, yesterday, next to the high school, which is an important bike route, that said, share the road. And I noticed all the drivers were slowing down immediately as soon as they saw the sign. So I have heard that some cyclists have reported that motorists have yelled out their window at cars next to a share the road sign when the bicyclist was blocking them, saying, "You're supposed to share the road." So I don't think they work. I think this sign works a lot better. I'm glad to see that you're doing that. We are going to use those signs in conjunction with these stencils. This, I think, is a really innovative thing. I don't know if you're considering that or not here. It's gotten approved by the California Traffic Control Devices Committee, if you care about that, to educate bicyclists to stay out of the door zone and motorists to expect bicyclists there. And you can see that it works to push the cars over. You know, out of your way a little bit. We're going to put thousands of these down on San Francisco streets where we don't have the space to put in bike lanes. So I want to talk a little bit about the importance of continuity in the network. When I was riding around yesterday, you know, some streets were you know, perfectly fine to ride on, and other streets I felt a little scared. I had to look over my shoulder to make sure what the traffic was doing behind me. I don't know the drivers around here. So the continuity is really important. This illustrates what we're trying to do in San Francisco. We have a long way to go. These are the existing bicycle paths. If you add in lanes, where we have bike lanes, you get a little more continuity. And then, in all honesty, you have to add in the streets that are slow and safe and comfortable to ride on, so you get that. But still, you can't get from here to there, right? I mean, that's trouble. The purple represents the work we have to do to have a continuous network. And I'm happy to say that since then, we've gotten this one. Since I did this map, I've gotten this one, we've gotten this piece, and we've gotten... that's it. But we've gotten a few more pieces since then, since I did that map.
Well, did your black population grow, you know, as a result of your work?
It sure did. I'm going to show you that. So, yeah, so, this, yeah, nice question. This is an amazing chart. I couldn't believe it when I looked at it. This is a chart that looks at selected California counties, those counties that have a certain population and a bicycle commute rate of around 1% in 1990. Look at what happened between 1990 and 2000. Wow. It's really bad news if you look at it. Practically all of these counties. This dark green one is Santa Barbara. Wow. Yeah. So they lost a lot of bike use in that decade. Practically every single county lost a lot of bike use. But look at San Francisco.
Wow, what a change!
Car parking in San Francisco. That's a big part of it.
Wow. You know what? I'm gonna have hopefully some time for questions at the end. So I'm gonna address that. Santa Monica, like I said, was 1% from 1990 to 2000. 1.1. So no change. Oh, and I wanted to mention one thing too about that. In that decade, I noticed a pretty big thing in San Francisco, and it was fascinating to see because I didn't expect it. But drivers became so much more aware of bicyclists even when there weren't bike lanes. Their behavior really changed, and it was shocking to think that you could change drivers' behavior so much. But on bike lanes where drivers used to constantly cut me off. 95% of the drivers I noticed would stop and wait. And it's not effective cycling, it's not even proper driving, but still, they would wait in the car lane and wait until I passed on their right in the bike lane before they would turn. And all the drivers started doing this. It was really remarkable, and they started passing you. I know it's not proper traffic behavior, I know that. Anyway, it was remarkable to see how all over the city, when they turned right, when there wasn't a bike lane, they looked and checked, you know? They would use their turn signals more. It was really amazing to see. So don't underestimate the power of a contiguous bicycle network and increased bicycling to improve conditions on streets where you haven't done anything. You can really make it safer for every street by focusing on a contiguous network of streets where you really work to make improvement. This is a picture of critical mass. Now I'm moving into the political side of it. Like, what is it going to take for y'all to get some of these things? I mean, in San Francisco, we don't have really, we don't have a $2 million bike project, for example, like your bike path. We've made some difficult changes that require getting rid of traffic lanes, putting in bike lanes. But it's more the political power that has made a big difference. We have a strong bicycle coalition of 4,500 members. We have a law that makes it illegal to narrow the curb lane on a designated bicycle route without explicit approval by the Board of Supervisors. So our Department of Parking and Traffic can't, hey, we're gonna add a turn lane and narrow the lane, and we're gonna change parking from parallel to angle if it's on a bike route without the Board of Supervisors saying, yeah, parking is more important than bicycle safety. And they won't say that. You know, we have that law to really cement in existing conditions, at least. If you all had that law, you wouldn't have lost the bike lanes on Main Street that I understand used to be there and you lost. That shouldn't happen. It's one thing to lose a battle when you're trying to get a new bike lane. It's another thing altogether to lose a bike lane you already got. That's just wrong. When that happened, there should have been 100 letters to the mayor of Santa Monica saying, what are you talking about? I take my child on that street and now it's going to be less safe. What are you talking about? That, you know, should have happened and it didn't. And I also want to focus on that in your political work, you know, don't go after the planners, you know? Don't go after these people here. These are the people you know, so it might be natural to call up Lucy Dyke and say, hey, you know, I want a bike lane on this street. But, maybe you should do that once so you can say that you did it. But the real person that you need to talk to is the mayor of your city and your city council. That's where you need to focus your political work. There's a limit to what planners and bureaucrats can do. If the mayor calls Lucy Dyke and says, Lucy, I want a bike lane on the street, she's going to listen to the mayor, or she's going to listen to you. So, that's where you need to really put your energy. Now, I know there's the LA County Bicycle Coalition. Who here is a member of that? Who here is not a member? Raise your hand if not a member. please consider joining the LACBC. And I know they're LA County. Once you're a member, then ask them to put some resources and work on Santa Monica Bicycle Coalition. Every bike coalition that's successful in the country has an organizational model that matches the political model. So you know there's chapters to match where your governmental units are. So San Francisco is easy because it's a city and a county. It's one jurisdiction. LA County is going to be a little more difficult. You need someone to put, you know, residents of Santa Monica, voters in Santa Monica, to put pressure on the politicians in Santa Monica to make the changes that you.
Dave, could I just let people know that the LA County Bike Coalition has a website, so just do a search on it and you'll find us really easily.
Yeah. Thank you. What's the website?
www.labikecoalition.
And you can join on the website, right?
Yeah.
Will you at the next meeting of this say how many, what the increase in membership was from after this meeting?
Yeah, sure.
All right. .org. I want to tell one story. This is a march that we did on City Hall, holding our mayor's head, who was not being friendly to us. And this is another example of critical mass. And I'm going to leave with just one story about the importance of really aggressive political action. It's okay to provoke your enemies. It's okay to do things like, and someone told me there was a critical mass here last night.
Yeah, we,
I missed it.
What's a critical mass?
I'll just make that announcement real quick. There is an LA critical mass group that has been meeting for years, and it's a bit inaccessible at Sunset and Park in Silver Lake. So last night we had our first Santa Monica critical mass ride, which is meeting the first Friday of every month at the entrance to the pier at the corner of Palisades Park at 7:30 p.m. And it was a small group last night, but it was a pretty successful ride.
Right on. We've had a lot of success with critical mass. It's made a lot of enemies. It hasn't endeared itself to the entire bicycle community either. You know, but it's really helped in pushing the envelope. And the story is one about provoking your enemies and why that's okay, because sometimes they do really stupid stuff. The politicians who was from the more suburban part of our town was unhappy with the power that the Bicycle Coalition was getting in one of the merchants in that part of town, and he decided to put on a car critical mass. This was about 5 years ago, and they were complaining about how City Hall only listens to the bicyclists. Damn it, we're going to show them that we're powerful too. So they got, I think they had like 12 cars when he came down to get at one part of town and have a car parade from one part of town to City Hall to protest the lack of attention to car drivers' needs. And it was so stupid. The media covered it, made them look really dumb. Of course, it's really easy to manipulate that. I had a friend of mine who drives a car, and I asked her to put a sign on her car that says, "This motorist supports bike lanes." So, of course, she got interviewed. You couldn't tell that it was a car critical mass because there were thousands of people in cars around them trying to go home. It was wonderful. What a great message. It was better PR than we ever did when we launched something. And it was just a gift to us. So I really encourage you to push the envelope. And you know, you don't have to all agree. Political action that insists on making the streets safe for bicyclists has ramifications, like I mentioned in the beginning, that are hard to argue with. So with that, I can take a few questions. But let me ask the organizers how much time we have for questions first.
We're shorter on time from the beginning. Two questions, because we want to hear. The reason is we want to hear from the people who are here too. So, two questions and then.
I have a problem with safety for bicyclists themselves, and I want to criticize your critical mass. I think you alienate a lot of people. the traffic as a strategy to piss people off.
Understood and heard. Thank you.
Got my bicycles from way back, but one of the problems is there's no law against riding a bicycle without your handlebar, without your hands on the handlebar. Now, I don't mind doing that myself. I'm not going to trip up somebody else. But if you have two people coming at each other, let's say 15 miles an hour, 10 miles an hour, that's let's say 10 miles an hour, okay, you're going to crash.
I think I understand your question.
You have to apply your brakes.
All right, thank you. There is a law, actually, that requires you to have at least one hand.
I talked to several officers.
All right, well.
And there's no law on books saying that you have to have
your hands. I would talk to Santa Monica Bicycle Coalition about that once they're formed.
Yes, well, I think, too, that we need more off-road. I myself was hit by a road from the guys. And also, there are actually people out there with guns for bicycles. They don't run bicycles. They're really running over. There also are some people that are now I'm half blind. I did not know to go on a regular road. I want to go sooner. I can go slow. I like the idea of Greenville, and I like the idea of the Santa Monica Canyon and the freeway, possibly from the airport to Marine Park, or even far down to the ocean, something like that. Most people are going to use it for recreation because the traffic is a render for a lot of places.
I completely agree with you. The people we should be designing our bike lanes for are people who have vision problems. You know? I mean, that's, we need to really be inclusive.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Environmental
Task Force, yeah. Sustainable Cities Task Force.
Yeah.
So these are people who are appointed by the council to work on the policies, and they're really here to listen to things you have to say, and they'll be working on the overall planning process.
And we would really like to hear from you. So our emails are obtainable through the city. If you want to send us any information, and please keep up the pressure, because obviously we're here as advocates also, and it makes our job a lot easier when we've got the backing from you.
In an effort to hear from people, the next portions of the agenda are really an effort to hear from you all, and to try and make it so that we can hear from as many people as possible in the whole group. We're going to split into groups at your table. I want you to make sure that you have at least 7 people at your table, and that people are respectful of other people's point of views at the table. If somebody has a lot of things to say, maybe they can write them down. You can put them for rants and raves. There will be a staff person at each table to try and help out with what's going on. The first thing that we're going to do is to introduce ourselves and to look at the question of which things we would like to have on our major streets. We've identified certain kinds of streets, and we're going to try to get you all to make some choices about what would be the best things for the city to do.
Lizzie, can I just make one statement? I just wanted to say that we do have an advocacy group here in Santa Monica called Cycle Santa Monica, and we were actually responsible for putting up all those Share the Road signs, which increased bike lanes by 100% in Santa Monica, because now those roads are known as bike lanes. And we have been meeting regularly, but we do have this, it's a chapter of the LA City Committee. So I just wanted to make that clear. Oh, Cycle Santa Monica.
Okay, so now if everybody can find a table, you have some information in your packet. There's one of those white handouts that I asked you to write that you could maybe make notes on. Has a bunch of check boxes about what you put on your list.
Right now they're very short, sporadic bits. So you don't care if they're class one, and you like them more. But what we really want is a session. Our second priority was bike storage, bike standards, and that every public parking structure could have a parking area with bikes, just like they do with motorcycles. I personally don't think it should be just one parking structure. It should be every single one of them. Third on our list was the colored lanes. I personally liked the images we saw of the right single lane, because I think it promotes awareness of the drivers. It's great for the bicyclists, but it makes it more safe.
Tony, did you get that one?
Yeah. The other thing we thought would be great for bicyclists and would make things more safe was the bicycle detectors at intersections. Some way to make traveling by bike more continuous rather than too many stops. And I think it makes it safer for the bicyclists, but it also makes it safer for the pedestrian, because everybody is a safe spot for the pedestrian. My son was 14, he used to ride to school, but then now it's not safe for him. Wants to send us to riding bikes. And I know that the fact that you don't have to pay for gas is an incentive on its own. But one idea would be that if you're going to ride your bike and you get on the bus, maybe the bus fare is half price. So, and this is 14-year-old. So those were our five priorities, but as a table, we wanted to say a few more things. We thought this was a great and interesting workshop, and we wanted to thank the city for doing this. We're committed by bicyclists, and we would vote for another workshop that would actually be launched. And we also might suggest developing a citizens committee, which, this is almost what this is, right? It's a citizens committee. So if you need a standing committee, bicycle committee, I'm sure there are lots of people that would volunteer. Okay. Thank you.
Well,
It doesn't matter what color things are, nothing's getting worse. People can ride here, people drive there. That was one. The second one was simply I think it's already up there, making the lanes march even more obviously. Clearly, especially cross intersections. And third was more signage. Somebody suggested a good idea that if we're not going to use streets like Santa Monica Boulevard or Wilshire Boulevard, they're pretty dangerous. There should be signs that say bike lane one block east, one block west, one block north or south. And there'd be more of that, pretty consistent, to get people on so that, for example, Moshi gets them to say California. And it's Colorado, I guess.
West to east, like into LA City, and from north to south. Main arterial so that you can expedite your driving and your hydrogen. We want more bike paths throughout the city. We'd like new businesses to provide more facilities for bicyclists, including showers, because as you know, if you're going to do some distance, you get a little perspiration, and if the business is big enough, let's say, just large enough, that there's like a place to shower and a lot for your bikes. The thing about the major streets here, like Wilshire. It's such a busy, we talk about having a bike path there, but bike paths are pretty narrow, and they're dangerous in themselves because of car openings, and you're so close to traffic, that we said that we co-opt one of the lanes. Now, Wilshire, when we do that, like Wilshire has two lanes going in either direction. So we felt it was safer to take over a lane and ride with the cars. As the cars coming along the same direction as you are, they have the option to go into the lane closest to the double yellow line. But on streets such as Arizona, we still have almost the same situation, two lanes in either direction, but not as much traffic. On those streets that you don't have as much traffic, you have a bike lane. And of course, residential areas just cooperate. The other thing is particularly on the beach bike path where there's so much traffic. Sometimes you see these people riding without their hands, and you're going in opposite directions, and you're, let's say, you're going 10 miles an hour, and the other person's going 10 miles an hour, combined impact, handlebars hitting you, whatever. There's no law in the state that says that you have to have your hands on the handlebars, even driving a car. So we're looking for a law for to have your hands on the handlebars. Thank you.
Four. Do you want to go?
No.
Okay. I'm not the best public speaker, but our top five things were, first one was to improve residential collectors. They have bike lanes on 11th Street. I think we need to improve streets like 14th and 20th, residential collectors. Basically, get bike lanes on them, and so people can, basically just go from, neighborhood, from house to house, and people don't go that far sometimes. I think residential collectors are like where you can start off right now of improving. I think those are really important. Also, we were thinking to improve the east-west links across the city. Right now, trying to get down to the beach, as soon as you pass Lincoln, the bike lanes disappear. So trying just to get those east-west links down to the sections that are really popular, like 3rd Street and just getting down to the beach, I think those are really important.
that also ties in with, we thought a bicycle boulevard on Michigan would be something that the city could experiment with. Basically, I think it would just allow for bikes to have a path where they wouldn't have to veer off, or it would be through traffic, I guess, on the bicycle boulevard, and the cars could also share the road with us, but they'd have to be forced off every six blocks or something, and whereas bikes could travel all the way through. Also, we agreed with the painted cross arterial for busy boulevards and intersections where there's a lot of traffic. I think those are very important, especially for, you know, going across town. And we also agreed with the signal sensors for bikes at intersections, so that if a bike's, if you're the only thing there, and you're a small little bike, that the light knows that somebody's waiting for the light to change so that you can go through. So, and of course, this has already been echoed a few times, but enforcement of the traffic laws. A lot of people don't feel safe because the cars are, because cars do not obey the traffic laws in regards to bicycles. And they are in the traffic lanes, they don't stop and heave, you know, for bicycle traffic. And we just say better enforcement of traffic laws. But I'm sure there's a lot more that can be expanded upon that, but I'm not going to expand on right now. So that was it.
More dedicated bike paths and bike lanes, as everyone has mentioned. And sort of some sort of dedicated bike greenway or bike boulevard that would require, you know, no thought, just bikes only. You know, the expedition line was mentioned for real fast travel around to one side of the city and the other. Preserving existing bike lanes, bike paths, and bike trails especially during construction projects. The Main Street Civic Center area, you know, the disaster for bikes, whenever they, you know, they built the RAND building, however long that took, was completely inaccessible for bikes during those projects. The hospital was closed forever for bikes. More bike parking indoors, include, you know, for businesses. I know that it's required right now. I believe you mentioned it, that any new building projects require indoor, you know, bike parking, but also for residential units. I know my bike, I tested that, you know, locking it up outside on my railing. My neighbors had two bikes stolen that were both locked up outside. So now my bikes are leaning against my coffee table in my tiny little apartment. I know I have more neighbors who would bike ride if it wasn't for these disincentives for actually having a bike where you live in these very dense apartments. So maybe one garage per apartment complex has to be dedicated for bikes. It should be 50%, maybe there's a code, 50% of your residents have to have bike storage in residential apartment buildings. You should put that effort on the landlord. This wonderful downtown transit mall project, which, you know, we all supported because it was, you know, disincentive for cars and, you know, more incentive for mass transit, and those are ideas which we're definitely in favor of, but the people who got the shaft, unfortunately, were also bicyclists. So now, there are no incentives to bike downtown because it's very difficult. So the first step would be to extend the Arizona Broadway bike lanes, or I should say, reestablish the ones that were there. You know, inexplicably, you're riding down Arizona and Broadway, and as soon as you get west of Lincoln, the bike lanes end. And so we need to extend those bike lanes all the way down to the downtown construction, the downtown transit wall, and then also connect over on 4th Street over to the Civic Center. So you have Main Street connected with downtown, which through these tributary bike lanes again. And then I'll hurry up here. Bicycle path loop around the whole city. You have
you have ocean, you have all bike traffic here, lots of different, you know, recreational people doing it for exercise, and San Vicente is obviously very bike friendly, and it's just a natural extension to do 26th Street as a dedicated bike lane at the eastern perimeter of the city, all the way over, which would connect to the Olympic Corridor, and then you start to really see this loop taking shape once you connect over to either Pico or Ocean Park in some sort of southern dedicated bike lane. Pico's a great choice because of the college. And, well, Ocean Park, you know, there are other options, but 26th Street is really the first step in possibly connecting that perimeter route, and it seems like a logical way. And I think that's it. That was all.
So I'll give you a couple different thoughts here. We sort of went through together. First off, just a standard sort of policy on routine accommodation on all surface streets. And that really, bike lanes were the thing that we came up with over and over again. You need to have those. What do you give up? You give up basically narrow lanes, slows down traffic, or you basically eliminate lanes, which then forces people, because traffic gets bad, to ride their bike rather than take the car. Two, education. Education in a couple different areas. Educating drivers about what the rules of the roads are, that we actually have rights, and so do they, but that we really have them. Educating the police to enforce those rules, and educating bus drivers also, that they need to respect bicyclists. Additionally, enforcement. We have some suggestions, some stringent laws against encroaching in bike lanes. Like if you encroach a carpool lane, you encroach a bike lane, same type of fine, hundreds of dollars. Bike boulevards is another thing that was mentioned. Allow full use of lanes. They have a couple of examples over here. Very important on the small residential streets. Several of us bike on those streets and are confronted with that all the time. As you move on here, colored crossings or high conflict zones, bike detectors also. One little thing that I'm going to throw in here is Bogota, Paris, Rio de Janeiro, they close down streets to allow biking and residential stuff all over the world on Sunday mornings. Why can't we do that in Santa Monica?
Just following up, we wanted to just eliminate cars in the city of Santa Monica.
Thank you.